probably. You respect the soldiers? Okay, four were just killed. Four Green Berets were killed. Not a peep. Instead, Corker's a jerk.
I'm still back on the emoluation or whatever.
Emoluments.
That emoluments.
The emoluments clause.
What is that clause?
The emoluments clause means that you divest from your businesses and you don't make and profiteer over.
Doesn't
your,
say you divest from your. Doesn't say
it.
What it
absolutely
says.
Does.
What are you, a constitutional lawyer now?
I've read enough.
You don't divest.
You're
a constitutional.
Now you're
put it in a blind trust. You put it in a blind trust.
Aside.
A blind trust.
Yeah.
I have a degree in political science. I opted out of law school to be a musician.
What does that mean?
That means that I'm at least smart enough to read certain aspects of other writers, such as Lawrence Tribe or Pinter from Texas, and see what the explanation of the Emoluments Clause is, and does it hold? Where is it in the Constitution? Therefore, yes, I'm
if
not
it,
a lawyer.
If it held for 2 seconds, they would have him impeached already.
You know why he's not impeached? Because the other 100 people that you're talking about are in this for the money. Take the money and run. We got this.
They want him out.
They want him out when they can get him out in a certain way. Right now,
the cabal wants him out.
But they don't want to impeach him, and I don't think. I think we won't know until
we know that Trump exploded this conversation. This is where everybody gets like. You know,
this is why I don't wear my Make America Great Again hat.
When we were talking more locally and on the New Jersey state level, we had more agreement. Now, Christie was kind of seen as the pre-Trump Trump. You know, and then Trump came along and out Christie. But how does everyone feel about Governor Christie in terms of that? Is he divisive, or do we all feel disappointment in him?
He created the
or?
Best cartoon I've ever seen.
Yes,
he's sitting
did.
In that lawn chair with
yes.
a shark
yes.
underneath him. That is the coolest cartoon
so
I've ever seen.
So Republicans and Democrats agree on the best cartoon in Jersey.
You had talked about the money doesn't go where... You say it was now Governor Christie that famously raided the transportation fund,
many funds in New Jersey were raided. Years ago, we had a tremendous surplus in our unemployment account in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So much so that they came in and raided it. And when we had the big downturn in the economy 8-9 years ago, there wasn't any money there for what they needed. So we ended up borrowing money from the feds to pay our unemployment expenses. These guys in Trenton don't know how to do anything but spend every dime they can get their fingers on. And they're not any different on the national level.
And you feel like that's Democrats and Republicans.
That's everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's what they do for a living.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's why you
we agree
like
on that.
President Trump, because you feel like he's not a politician.
I don't believe
he's cutting back everywhere. Everybody.
And he
I'm
will
conservative,
continue.
To be honest with you. I'm
you think that's a good
and
thing?
I think that he should be
you
cutting
think that's
back.
A good thing?
Yes, absolutely.
But the man banked.
He's got 13,000 fewer federal employees now than the day he started.
And that's a good thing.
Well,
that's a good thing.
I don't know. I mean, the state.
I tell you, remember, 10% is easy.
Gutting the State Department wasn't a good thing. Gutting the State Department was not a good thing, period.
No.
We have put ourselves in harm's way around the globe by gutting the State Department.
We've been putting ourselves in harm's way since about 1950 when Truman let North Korea slip away and become the monster it is today. That's our inheritance from Harry Truman.
Yeah,
and every other
president bigger, broader philosophical question, and that is definitely a global question.
And the State Department helped that situation.
We've gone to a global
He said we're in grave danger because we've...
I didn't say grave danger. I said we put ourselves in harm's way. We've gutted the State Department. We have no diplomats.
You
don't have any diplomats.
You know what? You have a Senate that's not approving his
nomination. He hasn't put anybody forward. He's got zero recommendations, recommendation.
I don't think
and you know why?
Because the people with any sense don't want to work for him.
Although, wait, today's politics TV shows, instead of us talking about the fires in California, the travesty in Puerto Rico, gun control, please. Can we get back to gun control? Instead of talking about anything, you know what we were talking about? We were talking about Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State. They were talking about his testicles.
Who was talking about
him? Meet the press, all of the political pundits. Because Bob Corker said something to the effect of that he had been, what do you call it?
Castrated.
Said Donald Trump has castrated Rex Tillerson. So what do they talk about? They start talking about castration. And Rex Tillerson says, last I checked, everything's intact. they're talking about his testicles on national television. Come on, this is our Secretary of State.
So, just in terms of parsing out time, I'm gonna want to move on to the next question, if that's okay.
And I'm gonna venture a point. He didn't say it. Next.
He didn't say what?
Okay. He didn't say what he said.
He never said it.
He didn't say. Last I checked, everything's intact. He didn't say.
I'm saying that the president never made the comment.
What comment?
The president never may said those words. Somebody was castrated.
Corker said it. Bob Corker said it.
Blame Bob Corker.
Right. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm saying that why would we be talking about this?
Why are we talking about it?
The Secretary of State, because that's what we've been reduced to. This is the respect for the offices of our highest executive levels. The respect for that has been thrown into a cesspool.
Really?
It's a leech field. It is absolutely appalling that we should be discussing the Secretary of State's castration.
Don't discuss it.
It was on national television.
Did you bring it up?
Okay, sorry. I mean, if I understand this is very difficult material and it brings up a lot of things. Again, from the get-go, this is why this project is so valuable. But I do want to continue to do our best to switch gears and sort of look at different ways. But Rick, I want to ask you that question. We can go back to the initial question, and then we can move on to another one. So has your attitude towards politics changed since November's presidential election?
Of course. How could it not if you're paying attention to what's going on? Was I happy with the results of the last election? No. But I was willing to give the man a chance. And I actually said that to certain friends, which I said, let's give the guy a chance. Maybe he'll do some great things. And I was just kind of laughed at, actually. But in the meantime, he's continued to tweet, and I just don't trust politicians anymore. They don't.
Did you ever?
To a certain degree, yes. I mean, the country's been running for how many years now? I mean, we've managed to...
In spite of, not necessarily because of.
That could be. But...
Well said, though.
You don't trust politicians, no matter their party affiliation.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what party they are.
No.
Now, how did his actions change
your equal opportunity
party's actions? What you're observing?
Well, it's more about how did we allow this to happen as a party?
We didn't
because of
the numbers
results.
Point differently.
We didn't allow it to happen. If you count votes as votes,
well,
the Democrat,
I mean, but now
won,
you're going
by 3
now
million
we're going
votes.
Back to electoral
we're talking
issues
about results.
Electoral
exactly.
Results.
Why it happened? Why did Trump get elected? Why are we feeling the way we are?
Well,
it's because of the way the government has been run for the past.
Well, I think people
past
are,
two terms.
People are 50, divided.
50, 50 well, years.
Yeah, but we've
well,
gerrymandered the hell out of everything. We've jerry-rigged the system so that people's votes don't really count. We're divided over the Electoral College. If there's over 3.1 million votes in favor of another candidate, but because of the Electoral College, that system in and of itself creates divisiveness.
Constitutional amendment.
Yes. Right.
But I think that solving the Electoral College and the one vote argument is a long and convoluted process, and I actually am not in support of changing the I think the Electoral College is a good fail-safe, except when it's been gerrymandered into a place of it no longer holds value.
It hasn't been gerrymandered at all.
You win the state
on the popular vote.
The states have gerrymandered their counties to create different voting.
But
both parties
are guilty.
States have created this process of gerrymandering so that their county votes and the way it's skewed creates a disparity in how the votes actually count
in the county.
But that would impact the House of Representatives.
In the end, the state wins. If you, even if you don't carry three counties and you carry
the
other counties,
you're done. It's like the House always wins.
No.
The House is winning.
It doesn't. That's why they count the counties.
So, moving on. So we're going to move on to the next question.
Next question.
Okay. And I'm hoping to really get I'd love to get an answer from everyone about this. Do you discuss politics with people who think differently from you? Why or why not?
Typically, I do not. Mm-hmm. Because it usually ends up in an argument. And I run away from confrontation.
You're right. And I don't either. I might make a suggestion. For example, if they want to tell me that man-made global warming is a huge problem, I might say, well, have you ever heard of Vostok Lake? Why don't you go look at the research that's been done there and other places like it? Make up your own mind, you know. Or I might say, gee, have you read The Secret Knowledge by David Mamet? Internationally known writer, well-known Democrat, liberal, who turned conservative. Might be interesting to see some of his thinking on the subject. Things like that. But to try to argue with somebody, we
You're
end up yelling
win.
At each other.
You can't win. You can't win, because I tell you my point of view, you tell me your point of view, and nothing changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, here things change, because at the bed and breakfast we get guests from all over the world, and either they side with me or they don't get extra pancakes. That's number one.
Good for you. Good
and
for
they
you.
Usually side with me because those blueberry
you.
Pancakes.
Yes, they
want it. Now, we have political conversations here all the time. The thing that you're not supposed to have, political and religious conversations, well, we get them from everywhere. We get imams, we have so many people from Israel and around the globe, everything you can think of. And I'm really laid back. And I never, never lose my cool when it comes to politics. Consequently, it's very interesting to see the diversity of people's opinions from all over. And
I think that's why Maplewood's an oasis.
It is, in a lot of ways.
We get an opportunity to have conversations with people that don't share our political views because we're in this town of diverse points of view. And
we're
I have
in a
no
town of diverse race. I don't know about a town of diverse points of view. Ask her how many Republicans we have. I think you can count them on 2 hands.
The guy across the street from a burning house hangs the Trump flag out still. And it's no. And I've had conversations with them. I tend to get heated because I'm so bent out of shape with how I personally feel our system is being corrupted. So it does cause passion for me, and it creates, you know, my voice starts to rise. But I have no problems having a conversation with people of different points of view. And to your point, I like to hear what they have to say, and it, you know, may not ever change any of it. But I'm a facts kind of guy, and I consider myself a conservative. That's the interesting thing. Most people don't understand. I consider myself very much conservative. I think that we are completely overtaxed on so many levels, but because it's taxation without representation, which goes back to the Boston Tea Party, we have a whole host of like little kings running around just taking our money and not giving back to us. Why is there a healthcare debacle? Because we really should have, we're the greatest nation in the world, yet we can't provide her healthcare for people?
We keep electing them. And decent folks don't run.
Well, that's I'm energized.
Decent folks don't run.
You're right.
Because
you're right.
They get their pants kicked off of them.
They don't want to be.
They asked, what's his name? What's Mark Cuban? If he would run for president? He said, me? You crazy? Uh-uh. I'm not getting into that.
I don't have any part of it. Right.
So, just go back, Eric, for you. Do you discuss politics with people who think different from you?
Yes. And I encourage it. Because I want to hear. However, I will confess, in social media spheres, when I see my brother's friends chime in on stuff, I have to block them because I just can't have that input. I want fluffy kittens spinning around in like crazy memes and pictures of children and friends and family and all of that conversation. When the politics starts happening in my recreational world, which is what I consider, so I do block those conversations. But one-to-one, face-to-face conversations, I welcome them, I encourage them, I look for people with different points of view. Mm-hmm. I
haven't blocked Jerry Cardasco yet, but I'm getting really close. It's getting very hard to have somebody that negative on my feed. Yes, I do talk to them, but because I'm related to them. And those are very frustrating conversations. But I think the data shows that the more you try and present somebody who is mistaken about the facts or the true facts. The
mistaken as you see it.
No,
facts
are
facts.
Facts are facts.
No,
when you try to
facts.
When you try to correct somebody who's mistaken about the facts, the data shows that they become more entrenched in the wrong position.
They're defensive.
They become more
entrenched.
They
put up their
bar.
Sure they do.
And the smarter you are, the worse it is. I'm pretty arrogant.
You're convinced?
It was a pretty scary thing for me to find out. The smarter you are, the harder it is to change their mind with the truth. So it is very, very difficult to use facts in a discussion to try and change something, if not impossible.
But
what is working is to see the truth right up in front of you very starkly. It is making everybody become aware much more of what is actually going on. It's going to take a while. We're going to find out about this emollients clause. It's not over. And we're going to find out if he's making money from that hotel, because it's not over. It's a slow, torturous process.
By the time it's over, he'll be out of office.
But that's
yes,
the point.
But we need to be more like the Chinese. It's a long road. We need to understand.
But if the truth
that
is
this,
the
what
point,
we're now is for later.
The truth is a simple concept of present what you have, put your cards on the table. There's the truth. If I'm playing a game of cards and I get called, I put my cards on the table, and there's the truth. In this instance,
wow.
I don't think that the politicians across the board are ever going to put their cards on the table. They'll just keep saying, no, I'll raise you. And either you're in or you're out. If you're not in, then you'll never know.
Yeah.
And all the Donald has to do, all he has to do is say, here are my tax returns. Here are my business filings.
No,
all he has to do.
No, they won't work.
Why wouldn't they work?
Because
that would be
because
truth.
Because some people won't let it work.
It would be truth, though. It
you
would
know,
be truth
but,
to me. See
let me point out to you, going back to the beginning of time, the Republic's time, George Washington did not sell Mount Vernon when he became president.
He was the first.
But the Constitution was already in place, and he kept his business. A very, very lucrative business. Until Donald Trump came along, he was considered to be the richest president, I believe.
Well,
George,
we'll never know.
I don't know.
Because we haven't seen those taxes.
It was the beginning of the Republic, and they made corrections along the way.
No,
I think
was the Emoluments Clause.
They've made corrections along the way. That's why we have amendments to the Constitution,
He sold products internationally.
However you want to slice it, currently, if it was wrong then and it's wrong now, we need to correct it.
So,
but
if
just
I get
to
sorry,
finish answering
yes.
your question,
so you'll never have a businessman
that
I want
to get
some other president of the United States.
I teach seventh grade math,
it's
and I teach my kids. We learn
position.
Cartesian philosophy. We learn
sure,
Cartesian
it
math, and that comes from
it's a business position.
Sorry, I'm just trying to get this on tape, if you wouldn't mind.
We are trying to find out the same thing now that Plato wanted to find out. We are asking the same questions that Plato asked. How can we determine the truth? And for a long time, we became sanguine that if the government said it, it was true. If it was written in the newspaper, it was true. We had all these shortcuts to the truth. And now we're having to rethink and go back and figure out how do we define what is true. We're back at the same questions. And so, yes, I do. What keeps me going is I have faith that a man like this, when the truth comes out, we'll recognize it. I mean, we don't have Mueller's, but when Mueller's report comes out, if it says that the president's making money, it is, I think he'll recognize it and act on it. And that, I think that's what makes our country great.
Mueller's looking at the emoluments clause.
Oh,
that's already
of course he is. He's following the money.
Are you kidding me?
Mueller is investigating much bigger high crimes and misdemeanors. The emoluments clause has already been presented to Congress. Articles of impeachment there have been attempts by members of Congress to file articles of impeachment just based on the emoluments clause because they have all of that.
And of course nobody wants to do anything until it's all
done. They have that. It's already out.
So we have some new guests, and I would love. My name is Donnie Leavitt. I'm a reporter who's working on this project. I don't know your names.
We were just inquiring about the bed breakfast, and Libby was like, "Join this meeting."
Oh Lord, you even jumped into
it. We got a long couple on us.
Likely story, innocent bystander.
I know. It's very interesting. I'm Tree DeNuzer, it's my husband.
How are you?
We live in Maplewood.
You do live in Maplewood.
We are in the process of, we have some spillover for some guests that are coming for next month. And so we said, we were at the Coalition on Race event last night, and we saw that this place was auctioned off, and we're like, I didn't even know it was tucked away here. So it was good advertising, because now look, it works.
We do it all the time, we give them away.
Well, you know, it works, so we're here, so that's...
Well, thank you for joining us, thank you for sitting down. Shay, Essa, I wanted to just ask you a slightly different question. When you're in school, or not, just hanging out with friends, do you talk politics with your friends? Does that come up?
Never. Well, sometimes at recess, we talk about Donald Trump.
What's he
calling? Donald Trump.
Oh.
And what do they talk about?
And what do you say?
What do they talk about when they talk about Donald Trump? Yes.
Do people make fun of him?
Yes.
Do they like the color of his hair?
Well, sometimes we say things that we know that we figured out about him.
Like what? An example.
Like, that his hair is actually a wig.
His hair is a wig.
So
I'm a hairdresser, all right?
She thinks he needs a new one.
No. When he was running for election, you saw the picture of me with Donald Trump in the den there? Mm. And my daughter posted it on Facebook and said, Donald has asked Libby to be his running mate. And Libby said, she'll consider it if he lets her fix his hair. So here's the bottom line. I wouldn't even change his hair. His changes is it's just his thumb, you know, it's who he is, that hair, you know.
I've gotten used to him.
Yeah.
But he was that way when he was
young. Here's the other one. When he went over to Scotland.
Some strange hair.
When he went to Scotland, he was going to build the most wonderful, the most fabulous golf course in the world. And the people in Scotland said, sorry, we already have the most famous golf course in the world. And he said, no, and he went up and he was taking over all this property. And so the people of Scotland came together and formed this group called TUT, Tripping Up Trump. And they were not let, they didn't want him to do it, some of the stuff he wanted to do. And they did a movie on it. And so what happened in the movie, nobody was to have a camera. And what happened was he comes off his bus and he walks out and the wind in Scotland, you know what the wind is like? You know, and hook, and the hair goes and you see him going nuts, and they're filming it, but they're not supposed to. They're doing it. He goes, get me a brush. You know, and he fixes the hair. So it really is his hair, it's not a wig. He fixes the hair and flattens it all up, and then he goes on television because the television cameras are waiting for him. But it was absolutely hysterical. Do you remember that movie, Henny?
Yeah.
You have to look for it. TUT, Tripping Up Trump.
It's his real hair.
That whole wig.
It's his real hair, yeah.
I've seen that person too.
Just a follow up question.
When I was marrying Libby, all her customers said, tell the truth. Art wears a wig, doesn't he?
That's right, everybody.
I know.
Most of them, and some of them, I would say to them, his hair, he's really got a lot of hair. It's not his hair, it's a wig. Yeah, just kid on, but of course it's his hair.
So, as a family, do you ever I don't want to say talk about politics, but do you ever talk to your parents and say, do we talk about this out loud? Is this something, do you ever seek advice from your parents about how to talk about politics, or does that just never come up? Or?
Not really. I don't think, none of my friends really likes talking about it because, like, of course it'll make us argue, and we don't want to argue, we're all friends, so we just don't really talk about it that much. Mm-hmm.
Have there ever been arguments that have come up, maybe even during the run up to the presidential election?
Like, some people are like, my mom or my dad is voting for Hillary or voting for Trump, but we're just like, really? Oh, okay, I didn't know that. But we don't really start arguing about it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's what we're trying to do here.
Any arguments about Sanders versus Clinton?
No.
It's too bad we don't have some high school students.
We just dropped two off to interview for the new restaurant in the village. They would have, they're 11th graders. They would have loved this.
Oh, my daughter's in.
Oh, really? At home,
yeah? Yeah.
Okay.
Lucero.
My daughter's Dylan.
Dylan?
Dylan DeNuzer. Yeah.
Okay.
And what were they doing? They were doing a bar.
You know, there's a new restaurant opening up in that
new Cassidy.
Yes, and Cassidy. So they're accepting applications today. So my daughter and one of her friends went up to fill out an application.
To the new building you went?
To the new restaurant that's opening up in that building.
So there was a place there that were allowing them to get, because it's not nearly finished yet, right?
No, it's not finished.
No,
but I mean,
but
I saw some of the, I got a peek in, and it's getting close.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Good. Yeah.
Last question.
Yes.
Because you're on the same time as I am.
Yes, thank you. So I think the last question, and please chime in about this, even since you just came in at the end. I'm curious, listening to what we've talked about over the last, you know, since we've started, what are the things that stood out to you? Not just the words, but the general tone of the conversation. What are the things, your takeaway from what you just experienced over the last period of time? It could be anybody.
I think what the young person here just said is most important is that when we get into some of this, it causes a divisive type of argument in a way. And divide and conquer is the greatest tool ever wielded by anyone in terms of keeping the country, keeping societies and communities fighting amongst themselves while other people profit. And so when we have a common conversation about something and we can stop and be cool, as Art said, keep our cool, then we're all psyched that we're Maplewoodians. We're here in this great community with wonderful people. Mm-hmm. But the words that I'm hearing become divisive, and the friction heats up and the blood pressure starts to rise and the voices rise, and the next thing you know we're arguing, which isn't cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all say we want it. I don't think any of us really do. I don't think a single person here has changed a single inch of their opinion. But I think actions matter. And I think that what's happening now is out there front and center. And people are going to either want what he's offering and what he's... Because now he's doing a lot of it by executive order. They're either going to want it or they don't. I have faith. I don't think they want this.
Okay. Good. Libby, what are some...
I got that there was some heated talk, but I'm very happy to see everyone managed to come and continue. That was what the question was about, our meeting here.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there were some strong opinions, but we didn't let it get out of hand, so good for us.
And they weren't me.
And they weren't you.
Actually, that's my job.
Rick, what stood out to you?
Well, as she said, that there were some heated arguments, which is what I tend to avoid. Don't like confrontation. Part of my upbringing. And I probably will continue to avoid political discussions.
Now, I have a very special question for you, because you are different in the sense that your daughters were here experiencing and being part of this conversation. What was that like for you? I don't know if they're, what do you feel about that?
Well, I thought they held their own. I thought they did well, given they didn't know what to expect coming here. So
I'm pretty impressed
I'm proud
that
of
you
them.
Got them here.
Yeah.
I'm pretty impressed that the two of them have sat here calmly listening and had opinions. I think that's brilliant.
Children are our future.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah.
Definitely.
I thought it was civil, very civil, and I hope we continue to be civil with each other wherever we are, and can have differences of opinion, and that's fine. But go on from there.
Wow.
Angel.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall when the kids get together and discuss what they heard today. I think it was an experience for them because they actually heard adults get pretty serious. So I don't think they'll forget it right away. I think I had the agreements and the disagreements that I expected we would have. It was worth the investment of 3 hours to come and chit chat and let off some steam and listen to folks express their opinions.
Wow.
Arthur?
Very pleased the way it turned out. Got to meet some new neighbors and some new friends, I think, here. And
maybe a new customer.
Possible.
We're hopeful. Yeah. And I think it's healthy. Actually, there's a woman in town, Dr. Barbara Vasquez, you know, Barbara? She had planned to do something very similar to this going back 3-4 months ago and advertised it on Facebook. And it just, she could just never get it off the ground. Mm. Those who expressed interest fell off by the wayside. So I'm very pleased that you came along.
Donnie, made it happen.
And that it happened. And I think as it's advertised, hopefully it sparks other conversations because it's healthy. When you're face-to-face versus communicating over the Facebook or other means or in your own political circles, I think this is what we need more of, in not just in our communities, but throughout the country and probably throughout the world.
Hmm. Right. Did I miss anybody who's been?
Can I just say,
yes,
yeah,
of course,
in,
please, please, absolutely.
Sorry, go ahead. I felt like I walked into a very safe space.
Did
so that congratulations to all of you for the 3 hours that you spent together, and we weren't privy to the level of emotion that you all shared on your journey together, but to just sort of casually show up at the end and to see that there was some healing, there was some honesty, there was some.
Civility.
The civility was out the gate when she offered us a sandwich. I'm like, hey, okay. This is unexpected, but I wanted to just say outside looking in and not having taken part, I think it's wonderful to see that there's a concerted effort to make safe spaces.
You missed all the action.
I did. I probably would have been a part of the action, but I feel like this is a healthy exercise, and I would love to see and to learn more of these little pockets of safe spaces for people to share their point of view and maybe not have the same point of view, but
after a grueling match of tennis, they always shake hands at the end.
Right? Yeah,
but they don't mean it.
Yeah.